Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Let's start off getting to our headlines this first hour, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or at DoralHyundai.com. The Dolphins lose 33-27. After the game, Mike McDaniel had some thoughts on the delay of game penalty late. Here's what he had to say on that.
That's kind of where the frustration lies for me, is there was not, it wasn't deciding that cost us, or a late play call, which that happens at times, but this was not one of those times. I got the play call in, but I'd need to do a better job supervising all of the orchestration within our multiple personnel groups. So to win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game, honestly. And that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20. That was critical.
Wow. It's a big word for me, dog.
Is that what I sounded like when I say words mean words? Because I want to punch myself in the throat.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game, honestly. And that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. What? To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
Somebody said Leroy being annoyed by a rambler is the Spider-Man meme. There's no way.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
Fair point.
It makes me not want to talk if I sound anything close to that.
It's crazy. Calls? You want to get some calls?
I mean,
Handsome Daffy, to be on the call, you got to be on the call, not be on the call.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what that was. I mean, listen, good morning to all of y'all. Man, it sucks even more knowing I'm from a football town, from Little League all the way to college. And no one wants to play for the Dolphins. Like, you can't name me a superstar who wants to play for the Dolphins, because this organization is just so terrible. They're so mediocre. All we do is lose.
It's bad, man.
Like, we don't do anything great. Like, my brother played 10 years in the NFL. I asked him when he played for the Dolphins. He'd rather sell drugs. No one wants to play for them. And this is the reason why. Look how they ran. Like, it's straight mediocrity. But when you go to, like, Little League all the way to college, we got dogs down here. And they don't even want to play for us. Like, growing up, they want to play for the Cowboys, the Steelers. They want to play for organizations who are established, because kids want to play for winners. We're just not that.
It's tough to Handsome Daffy. I'm sorry. Please tell your brother not to go sell drugs.
Man, the last time I've been this frustrated, and if I tell you, you'll understand why I'm a little more patient with the Dolphins and everybody get mad at me.
Okay.
Because I grew up as a Saints fan. Now, the difference is, throughout my whole childhood until I went to college, the Saints never even had a winning record. They wore bags over their heads to games.
Saw some bags yesterday.
it's unfortunate. I've been on both sides of it, but the one thing that changed as I then played, right? And I would guess if I was still that kid walking around the streets of New Orleans, when the only conversation you could have is how bad your team sucked, that it would be very disappointing. But we all seem to rally behind it, right? Like the Aints, the paper bags, right? Like all these things
It felt like the fans came in yesterday pissed off, though. Like, they were ready to boo their ass. Leroy, the first drive, they were losing their minds.
They were
so ready to just turn on this team. And I feel like it's going to be like that on, like, every week this year.
But my question is this. The offense had a three and out.
Yep.
And you booed them because...
A three and out with a called back interception. They thought there was going to be an interception.
Right. So it's still a three and out. But the defense hasn't given up a punt in six quarters. Like, I would be booing them if I was a booer.
I think they all deserve boos. I think everything is boo-worthy right now. Everything. Everything is... That's just where everybody's at right now. You know, when you get to the banners by the stadium and you get to this point, I told you, I said last week, I'm like, Tua was sitting there and he's like, yeah, I don't hear any of the noise. And it's like, well, you're going to hear it on Sunday. Cause this is just, we can tell, you know, when the tone of a fan base is turning, and everybody was on edge going into it. And that's the home opener.
Right. I can honestly say that you don't really, you acknowledge it, but you don't really focus on it, right? But here's what I learned a long time ago. Don't mention it. Don't say anything, right? Simply because it doesn't help. Right. I learned that, like, and keep in mind, I played for the Browns. We were pretty bad for a stretch there.
You were?
Right. Including the 3-13 year, my rookie year, when, you know, some of the things people are saying about Grant, they were saying about me.
Why didn't you guys try to win the game? Because to win the game, you got to win the game, not lose the game.
Because all our guys were old and they were like, just get this last year in.
Like, to win games, you have to win the game.
And keep in mind,
not lose the game.
We were getting booed my rookie year, but let's be clear. They had just gone to two consecutive AFC championship games.
Oh, yeah. You thought you were going to a good place. Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't, you know, like this. And they were still booing. And you know, it of course, you're human, right? Like, to say you don't hear it, is not being very human. But then when you say, I don't pay no attention to that, it almost revs it up. So I just don't, like I say, man, I'm just trying to win this game. I'm trying to do all these things right here. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, hear all that stuff. So,
Junior, what's Junior got to say?
Hey, listen, love the show. Thanks, first baby. Of all, let's get Greer, let's fire McDaniel, let's get rid of him. Trade Tua, send him anywhere, get a third. Trade Tyreek.
Get a third.
Trade Chuck. Let the rookie come in. You know what I mean? The year to watch. We're going to end up 0-3 unless something really bad happened to Buffalo. God forgive that. Don't want that to happen to Josh Allen. Other than that, this year is done. Let's rebuild. Let's do it right.
Don't worry. Nothing's happening to Josh Allen. He's made out of granite. Nothing ever happens to Josh Allen.
My question to that would be, when you say let's, you know, get rid of everybody and let's start over. I understand that. I'm not arguing that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you do realize to do all that, you're starting over again, usually with a new coach,
yep,
a new young quarterback,
mm-hmm,
and you're in that cycle again.
Yeah, I think that they're fine with that right now. I think that's where it is. I will say I haven't heard one good idea to replace him, because everybody's telling me Gruden and Belichick, and I'm like, you got to be bleeping kidding me.
Right. And that being said, but here's my other point. I've been around here long enough to know that when you pray for change and you demand change and you demand new this and new that and whatever,
right,
when the new guys come in, you're not very patient either. So that's why I come from the standpoint that I come from is not because I don't think maybe change could be better, but change is going to take more time. And usually fans don't have that time or don't want to hear that. So can you, as a fan, you can't have it both ways. So are you cool with change? Or are you going to be patient to let the next regime kind of play out and build the team the way they want to or whatever? Because that might take a couple of years.
Yeah. The one thing you can say, though, is that this was a little bit of a weird regime because, you know, Brian Flores left with a winning team, you know, and they kind of hit the ground running with Mike McDaniel. It wasn't really a case of a full rebuild when he was the coach.
Right. And that early success was, you know, what threw you off.
Right.
I get it. But again, anytime you have change, right, it very rarely, that was kind of an anomaly, to be honest with you. Very rarely when you have change, unless you've had some success,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, it was going to be tough. For example, when Andy Reid went to Kansas City, they had a good team. So, you know, like, so how are you going to be patient to go through that process of, you know, because usually when you change regimes, you change a lot of players, you change the system, you change the way in which you play. So to go from, for example, to go from a Mike McDaniel to a Dan Campbell, how long is that going to take? Because you're talking about changing. That's pretty much changing the way you do business.
No, I agree. Listen, there was a time where Dan Campbell was crying on the podium in Detroit. The Dolphins waxed the Lions Mike McDaniel's first year.
Yeah.
You know? But
yep.
On the road, I think. So I'm with you. I get you. But I just think that this whole thing feels like it's, you know, it's been the Tua Mike McDaniel era. And I don't know, man. I kind of felt like there was a little snippiness. There was some passive aggressive stuff happened after that game yesterday that you could just feel with bad teams. You knew that this was going to be a sensitive season as it was, and it already feels like it's getting to them because, like, I'm sure they're thinking to themselves, and I'm sure you could sit here and be like, "Hey, we were a Devon Achane step away from this being a much different conversation today." But the problem is, you know, it's like the old give an inch, take a mile. The Dolphins have taken so many miles of people's beliefs. They're not giving you inches anymore. Like, sorry, like that. Nobody wants to hear that they were a toe away from being 1-1. You've lost that with them. And
you are what you are. I don't care about any of that. Like, you are what you are, regardless of what the circumstances are. You, at the end of the year, you can't go back and say we were a toe away from this or a toe away. Nobody cares.
You are what you are.
The only people care about is what your record is at the end of the year.
Right.
All right. So from that standpoint, I guess I'm a little more patient than most, although I will say this, yikes.
Yeah, you know what's coming, right? Though, dude. Like, the damage,
like,
is done.
I can't. As a person on the outside looking in, there's only so much I can say before it becomes overwhelming, even for me, right? Like, and it's getting to that point because the thing about bad situations, it's always something else. So your offense plays a little bit better. They move the ball. I see some, you know, deeper balls being thrown. I see balls being thrown outside, deeper, like, you know, taking care of what I told you before, taking care of exploiting a couple of guys on the field.
Right.
They did that. They ran the ball okay.
Yeah, they did, like, that. But then also
defense can't stop a nosebleed.
They can't stop a nosebleed. But then even Tua's bomb to Tyreek was the most uninspiring bomb of all time. It was like, yeah, it hung up there. Like yeah, just lingered, and then thank God Tyreek came down with it. And then the one that he missed him wide ass open, and Tyreek's like, "Come on, bro! Like that wasn't missing 2 years ago,
right?
And he's done that now twice. He sailed right. it on him. And that's annoying, man. But it's okay. Because right. don't forget, Leroy. Don't forget this.
Don't.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
Yep.
Like someone said, Leroy's just waiting until week four. Listen, I may be waiting to I'll be maybe waiting for week four, but I went outside and collected some firewood. it's not like a situation where I'm sitting and I got a heater inside and I'm like, we'll be all right. I just flip a switch, right? This is a situation where I got to do it manually. So I'm collecting some firewood. I got the long matches, right? Like, this is like, it's building and they earned it. Like, I can't, as much as I want to sympathize with the situation, right? And as much as I've been in this situation and understand, you know, patience. Like, I wish the Browns had been more patient with Bill Belichick, right? I lived through that, right? We knew we were good. We just were in a crappy situation with the team moving. We knew all this, but they still, because Bill Belichick was, well, you know, Bill Belichick, right? It's one of those things that Bill Belichick's annoying unless he's winning, right? But
I've always found him annoying even when he was winning.
I get where everybody's coming from. I come from a little bit of a different place, but I still got to be honest about the situation. That's all I'm saying. Like, I still have to be honest about what is happening and what this team is going through and how this team is. And so while I'm being patient, I'm not being stupid. I'm going to get me some firewood because I don't want to be cold. Right?
And the bad taste in our mouth continues.
You don't worry. You'll be able to have a nice fat steak in bye week or somewhere around that. So I think I'm frustrated even watching the game, like just to see
you were frustrated. That game,
to see that game get away, like, and then you sit and stare at the TV and go, how?
Mm-hmm.
Right? To things that just don't happen in football all that often. Back to back, return for touchdown.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Take a break. Streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, Miami 104.3 WQAM on Twitch and 104.3 WQAM on YouTube. We will take a break here. If you guys want to get your calls in, 305-567-0560. We're back with more after this. I don't know.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if it's true or not. I saw this weekend. Is Pitbull going to be the game day picker? I just saw that. It was just a meme. I don't know if it's true or not, but I know we're getting game day this college game day this week for Canes Gators. I don't know how the Gators. I mean, that must be a stinky slate if the Gators are still getting game day.
But, I think it has more to do with the Canes.
Hey, number four, baby.
You got it. You got it. And also,
I want to annihilate them.
Look at all the other games during the week.
I don't know what the rest of the games are. To be fair, I don't know. But I did see. So,
don't they do it before the season? Or
No.
They do it in,
no.
They do it a month, right?
No, they announce it the week of.
They pick it that week?
Yeah, they pick it that week. It was announced late. It was announced late Saturday.
Okay. All right.
It was announced late Saturday. But I saw that Pitbull was the picker. And first of all, I thought he was Paws Up. Is the stadium named
right?
after him.
I feel like that'd be a conflict of interest.
So I was a little confused by that. I don't know if it's true
or
not.
I don't feel like that's probably not the case.
Right. Well, the other thing is, you know who else? DJ Khaled, he seems to be, you know.
Shouldn't it be Michael Irvin? Like, always Michael Irvin? Like, first of all,
who
Michael.
Who was it last time? I don't even remember. I was there, but I don't remember.
Was it The Rock?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was The Rock. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been The Rock. I think because. Was that for the Notre Dame game, or they did it
Yeah,
again?
The Notre Dame game in 2017. It was the first time they've come here.
I think it was The Rock. I'm not positive.
I think I played against him. I think he was on that team.
Oh,
that
it was A-Rod. Wait, it was A-Rod.
A-Rod.
A-Rod. It was A-Rod. A-Rod. Yeah, I remember. He broke the turnover chain. I remember that.
Yes.
I don't know. I just saw that you played the Pitbull there. I was thinking, I was like, oh, was that true? I don't know. People are calling in. They're pissed. Understandably so. Ross, what's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again. I'm up here in Kentucky, and so I was only about 3 hours away from Indianapolis, so I got to see that last week. That was a lot of fun. I was trying to get there before people got hurt this year. And everybody was healthy. They just didn't play too well, I guess, for a couple snaps. And then last year, we picked the Monday night game against Tennessee, so that was fantastic. With Tyler Huntley getting the start on about 3 days practice or whatever. But anyway, I'm kind of past the point of just fire the coach and general manager. I mean, that hopefully that'll happen. I don't know if it will or not. But I guess my question for Leroy would be, with the salary we've already committed to Tua, if they do make a coaching change here midseason or whatever, will they actually sit him down so we can look at Quinn Ewers or the Zach Wilson, or are they just going to, I guess, the organization just can't do that because we've just given this guy all this money.
Ooh,
and I'll let y'all go. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you, dude.
Hey, the Denver Broncos gave Russell Wilson a bunch of money to go away. So if it's that bad when the new coach comes in, they'll make it work.
Right.
But I will say this. To be honest with you, a lot of it is the same repetitive stuff they've been doing for 4 years. And I would say this, and it looked a little bit different. I pointed out, it looked a little bit different than what they were trying to do the first week as far as where they were throwing the football, how they were, you know.
He went outside the numbers a couple times.
They threw it outside the numbers. So I'm always cautious of this. Like, we are quick to call players bust or terrible. And then they go and play in a different situation and look totally different. And I don't know if that's the situation. I'm no expert on it. I haven't broken down. The only thing I can look at is the plays that they're running now and judge those. Mm-hmm. I don't know what part of that is Tua's inability to play quarterback. I don't know what part of that is Mike McDaniel not expanding that offense.
Well,
so,
I mean, in fairness, though, we've already seen Tua in two different situations with the same franchise. Like, he looked like a different quarterback when Mike first got here. But you talked about this all last week. It just feels like the book's kind of out on him.
Yeah,
and he also just look, it does feel like any time you need a little bit more juice on a play or something else, like, that's when it just all goes to hell. Like, obviously, you know, giving the ball to Achane and Achane making things happen like he did yesterday, you know, those numbers got gussied up a little bit. But, right. I mean, yeah, man, there were some whoa moments still from him in the time of truth. And, like, look, when you get – it just is what it is. When you get paid $50+ million, people aren't going to have a lot of tolerance for running out of bounds on a third down and, you know, not being able to make something happen.
But you said you didn't want him to do that. You wanted him to live.
I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about me. Okay. I'm not talking about me. It just, it's one of the.
No, I know. But here's what I would say. Like, if it's that bad and they made a mistake, they'll fix it, right? They'll, like, if a new guy comes in or whatever. I think the most disappointing thing to me is I don't care what offense you play in. You have your basic fundamental plays, things you like to do, whether it's through your run game or your pass concepts or whatever. And then as your career builds, you kind of adjust it because the defenses are catching up to it. And that's the part that I'm losing or missing from this. And they did a little bit of that last week. I told you, they didn't throw the ball outside the numbers. They didn't throw it into those open areas, and they did that. So I don't know. Sometimes coaches overcoach. Like, they'll sit there and play the whole thing out in their head before it happened.
Yeah, he's ratatouille. Right? Too much fancy with the spices.
Right. And so I, like, I'm, if you notice, I'm not going at anybody or telling them they're wrong for thinking the way they feel. I just think I'm more disappointed for different reasons. And that's the thing that sucks, because one of the things that you say when you say offensive guru, they're always creating, right? They're always finding ways to exploit a defense. And what makes an offensive guru is he can pick and choose where to exploit on any given play. That's the stuff that I don't see, right? And that's why I have a problem with all of this, is that I had an offensive mind in Brian Billick, right? And his thing went the other way. He got the head coaching job in Baltimore and stayed the hell out of the defense's way, right?
Sure did.
So he didn't have all this fancy, intricate, you know, offensive stuff going on, because all you had to do is not screw it up and keep it close for your defense, and you were going to win a lot of football games.
Chris, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'd ask how it's going, but I think I know.
Yeah, you know. You do.
Yeah. I'm a Dolphin fan of 40 years, so I definitely do. I totally get the criticism of McDaniel, Tua, and I could do a half an hour on the reasons to fire Greer. But to me, if I was Stephen Ross, I would be looking at this and asking myself, is this roster good enough to win the AFC East? I think that's a no. Is this roster good enough to win a playoff game? I think that's a no. Is this roster good enough to get a winning record at the end of the year? I think that's a no. So the only thing that makes sense to me would be letting go of Greer now, and whoever I bring in, tell him, just take this season, decide who you want to keep, if anybody from the coaching staff, who you want to keep, if anybody from the roster, and then clear out anybody you don't after the season. Is that not like the most logical way to go about this?
So you want, yes, like first licks at it? You want like the first shot of whatever candidate you're going to go with?
Well, here's the problem. I get what he's saying, because a lot of these owners and a lot of these GMs. So say, for example, the GM fires a coach and brings in another coach.
Yeah.
You still got that same GM, and we haven't put any blame on him. We keep putting it on the coach. And as an owner, now you have to look at it from a realistic standpoint and look at players. What part of it is the players? What part of it is the system? I can only identify what the system is. I've already told you the frustrations I've had with some guys that were cheap that he let go that are having production in other places, right? I can all point that out. But when it gets down to it, the one thing that is solely on Chris Greer is the fact that you have brought in more guys that Stephen Ross has paid for that haven't contributed to this team in any way.
Yep.
That solely falls on you. And if Stephen Ross has to make a decision, that's where you start. That you have to start there. And so from that standpoint, once you change that, then you can get the philosophy of that GM and start. But I will say this, giving him that period of time, right? So say you give him 13 to 14 games to make that decision, means that you'll be in a better place to start over at the end of the year than you would if you just wait till the end of the year and then go through the draft, because you can't change a whole bunch of guys that quick.
I remain firmly, and I think it's going to be Mike being the fall guy. I still think Chris is going to be around.
Right. And
I don't think Chris is going anywhere. I just think I think he's the ultimate survivor. I think that he was laying the groundwork in the offseason to put the Jalen Ramsey thing on Mike, to say that I've been deferring to the coach too much and that he built this team because this is the team Mike wanted. I think that dude's sticking around. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think we're stuck with him. Because he's been for
which is weird, and here's why I say it's so weird. If you go to all the different places that Mike McDaniel has been, and who he has been there with. They have all built their teams offense and defensive line first. They've all done it. When you go to Atlanta, when they had success with Atlanta, they were good offense and defensive line. They ran the ball well, were really stout on defense. When you go to, then he went to the Commanders. Offense and defensive line, right? Then he went to Cleveland. Then he went to San Francisco. San Francisco, you had some playmakers, offense and defensive line, right? Every place that he's been. So if you say Mike McDaniel was the catalyst behind building this team, why does it look so different than every other place he's been?
I don't know. I mean, it's a fair question. I don't know what the answer to that is. And I think, you know, if you looked at 23, like, it was more like that because they did run really well. But I think the problems are is they built such a flimsy offensive line because everybody was so injury prone.
It broke down. It broke down, and they haven't been able to fix it then. And it seems like every time you fix it with a guy who you say is going to make a difference, he's sitting next to you in the suite.
Take a break. Game balls, game bums, next.
Obsessed with true crime cults or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bum, 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 bum.
This guy's a ball.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to gather around the locker room and for Leroy Horde to hand out his game balls and game bums. What do you got for us today, Leroy?
So, for my game ball, it's got to go to the Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, wow.
Because all the questions about USF and these are the games that Miami struggle with to get over the hump, they went in there and put that work on them, dominated them from start to finish. It wasn't even that close. Even with the weather delay, which was a whole three quarters of a football game delay, they came out and picked up where they left off. So if there was ever a chance to come out and be complacent, to be lackadaisical, the time would have been after they came back from that hour and 40-minute delay, and they did not. That was worth seeing just to, you know, I said, you know what, I got to watch some of this game and see how they bounce, how they come out of this delay.
Thought
and they came out with the same energy, the same dominance that they did when they went in. Because basically when they went in, they were dominating. It gave USF a chance to reset.
Yep.
But they wasn't having it.
That didn't happen.
So kudos to, I mean, just a dominant performance. Again, the only people who were not fooled by USF was Vegas.
Yep.
Everybody else had, oh, well, this is, you know, Mario Cristobal this, and we don't know about Beckham. And, you know, yeah, they got a good defensive line, but how dominating.
They throttled them worse than Bethune.
Yes, exactly.
They throttled them worse than they did to Bethune.
Yes, even though the score didn't, like, it was a dominant performance.
And Leroy, I got a serious question for you.
What's up?
Brittany, I have a serious question for you. This is
the question.
No, I wanted to make sure she knew. Like, are you okay with me asking the question, Brittany?
Of course. I'm nervous.
Leroy, are you okay with me asking this question?
Yes.
I have a feeling I know what it is. And I don't like to say this, so.
I don't think you do know what the question is. It's not about F1.
Sorry, my mind is only a one-track mind. No pun intended there.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
How about this Reuben Bain, dude? How about this Reuben Bain? My God. What a tiger shark out on the field.
The amount of field that that guy covers during the course of a game is amazing.
There's phenomenal. Multiple of him there. I don't understand. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
And I was telling Dono this over the weekend. I was like, it just proves to you how injured he really was last season.
Yes.
Because, and I mean, to be fair, I didn't give him the benefit of the doubt at all. I was like, this is a slump of a lifetime. I don't know what happened to him. Where'd he go? He was supposed to be this dominant person, but he's proven everyone wrong, and he literally has put no doubts in anyone's mind. And I think we also should give a shout out to Mesidor as well.
Oh my God.
Who has improved incredibly.
He's benefiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
He's benefiting. You know what sucks, Brittany, is that, and I tell Tobin this all the time, you see a guy on the football field, you assume he's 100%. And sometimes a guy's good enough to play, but he ain't where he needs to be to play like him. And they tell you, just give me what you can. And then we get graded on that. We get critiqued on that without the actual truth. So, like, the injury thing, it really does. It's unfortunate that guys go out there and try to play hurt. I tell people all the time, the worst thing I ever did was try to suck it up and play through a season with an injury, because after the season was over with, they basically wanted to do everything but cut me.
Yeesh.
Right? And I'm like, wait a minute. You asked me to give you what I could, and I did. And now when it's time for a contract or a pay cut or whatever, you come to me with the numbers knowing what I went through to play. It sucks.
What is your game bum, Leroy?
There's a lot of places I could go, right? I could talk about the Dolphins. I can talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Woo!
Woo! You know, I'm gonna keep that one in the holster.
Keep it in the back pocket.
And I'm gonna try to lift everybody's spirits and say, I'm gonna give myself the game bum.
Wow!
Because I don't tweet that often. I really don't. And I decided, as I was watching, you know, to make myself feel better based on what I was listening to in my ear pod there, to the Browns in my ear and watching the Dolphins on TV, right? I was in a bad place, everybody. I was in a bad place, and I figured I need something to make me feel better. So I turned on the Cowboys game, and I'm like, here we go. And I said to myself, thank God they got rid of Micah Parsons because they stopping the hell out of the run. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to tweet it. I'm going to tweet it today. It's going to make me feel better. And I said, hey, Cowboys, you're doing a great job of stopping the run, but you gave up over 400 yards of passing to Russell Wilson and the New York Giants. Soon as I pressed send, dude came out and kicked a 64-yard field goal to tie the game. Then they go into overtime and win the game.
That dude has an incredible boot on him.
It would have went from 75.
He's ridiculous.
From 64 yards and hit the net.
That kicker is, I mean, the two things that were probably the most ridiculous yesterday was that kicker's kick, which he does all the time. And that Cam Ward throw, which was ridiculous.
Right. Ridiculous. So I had to, and I did it as an honest person would do. I went out and I put it back out there that maybe I jumped the gun.
Yep.
Somebody gave me a minus one. I accepted the minus one. And I went on about my day. Had another couple of chicken wings to get it out of my system. But I think I think I should get the game bum simply because when you don't tweet that much, I probably should be more careful.
Oh, man.
But I was in a bad place. We ain't even, Tobin left. We ain't even dab each other up.
It was sad. It was a sad, like, see ya.
Talk to you tomorrow. Like, the game wasn't even exciting to drink a whole bunch of City Boys. We only had, like, one or two.
I had two. I wanted a third, but I didn't want you to look down. Look at this drunk. Because I was, like, because I was sad about that game, man.
I will say, while we were eating, them wings were delicious.
Delicious. And then you got the Red Miel Pinto from La Spada's.
Yeah, wait. Here's something. Hey, so I texted him. He was doing the pregame. And I texted him. I said, hey, I'm going to get some wings. And then I'm going to get, like, a big sub. I'm going to get two big subs. Right? What do you want? Right? So I got, like, a turkey and I want to say I got a turkey and ham, a big turkey and ham, got it cut in fours. And I said, what do you want? He says, give me that Red Miel Pinto. I'm like, what the hell is that? And he goes, meatball sub. Right? So I'm trying to order this crap online, and he don't send me what he want. He sent me the Red Miel Pinto. I'm like, so I'm looking on the website. Ain't no damn Red Miel Pinto on here. So I gotta call. He goes, give me a big old meatball sub. And wait. He don't even tell me, right? He sends me a picture of Red Miel Pinto, right? So I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I'm on my way to the sub place. I'm trying to pick it up quick. I ain't got time for your shenanigans right now.
Oh, man, we gotta take a break. We're way over. We'll back after this.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.